Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Under the Stained Glass. It's the podcast where we take a look at what we talked about in church and then approach it again from a family angle. I'm Pastor Chris here at Magnolia Park United Methodist Church in Burbank, and I'm here with our Children and Families Director, Ms. Whitney.
Hi, everyone.
And a couple of weeks ago, we started a new series called Tough Words, Great Love, where we've been looking at some of the tougher things that Jesus says, and some of them are pretty tough, but then look at how those things, as tough as they are to hear sometimes, are actually pointing us to his great love. And last week, we even talked about that really tough moment in Jesus' ministry where his family comes to visit him. Mm-hmm. And he begins to say, well, they're asking to come in to where he's teaching. And he says, you know, well, who is my family? Actually, let's think about this for a minute.
Yeah.
And he implies that his real family are those people that are sitting around him listening to his teaching. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty tough thing for him to say. But we discovered last time that actually when we put our devotion to Jesus first, mm-hmm. put that family of God first in our thoughts, and it actually makes us better to our natural families. That it makes us better fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, all of those kinds of things. So it really is true that the tough things that Jesus says will always point us towards his great love.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always kind of hard to hear those at first or even multiple times when you come back to them. But it is definitely not Jesus trying to make it difficult for us to follow him, which sometimes it feels like that. But mm-hmm. it's out of his great love for us that he does that, challenges us to go deeper and to understand him more fully. And I think it's really kind of great that he does that because we want to be challenged in our faith. We want to try to seek to understand what he's saying in those tough statements. We don't want it to always be so easy that we're just walking blindly through our faith. We want it to be an actual journey for us. And that's what he's making when he gives us these tough statements.
Yeah, and it helps us remember, too, that if our faith walk is too easy, we're probably not doing it right.
Right.
So that's just something to remember when we really listen to what the Bible is saying and listen to what Jesus is saying. It's probably going to be a little unsettling sometimes, as it certainly was in the story we talked about in church that begins actually when Jesus is feeding the 5,000 in the book of John in chapter 6.
Yeah.
He's feeding these people miraculously. He's got them all on the hillside, and he raises up the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and he multiplies all of that into enough to feed everybody. And scripture says that after this, people began following him all over the place.
Right.
And John says it this way, a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed. And John is always talking about the miracles of Jesus as signs because he wants us to remember that these things he was doing were not just magic tricks. He's actually pointing us towards and pointing his people in those days towards who he really was.
Right.
But of course, as Jesus goes on, he notices that these people are following him, and no matter what he says, they're just kind of looking for bread.
Right. They love those miracles, and certainly I can understand why, especially with this miracle. It's actually one of my favorites to watch Jesus just take this little bit and make an abundance for these people. Mm-hmm. So I can understand why they want to see this again. But they really are asking for a transactional relationship with Jesus here. And they want, I like to think of like a vending machine. They want to put the quarter in and then, you know, get a pack of cookies, whatever they want, you know, and, mm-hmm. and then they'll come back again when they want some more. And that's what they're really seeking with Jesus. But Jesus doesn't want to give them that anymore. He's given it to them once. And it's not that he doesn't want to do nice things for these people, but he's expecting more out of them in response.
Yeah. And he's really got a bigger agenda here, just as he does with us.
Right.
Right. We have those moments where we have our transactional moments with Jesus or where he proves his power to us.
Right.
But always his purpose is just to lead us into a deeper relationship with him and a deeper love, which is what he does here. He actually takes those people to task, saying, Truly I tell you, this is in chapter 6, verse 26, it says, very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, in other words, not because of who I am, but because you ate loaves and you had your fill. And then he goes on to start to talk of himself as bread and himself as the one who will help them never be thirsty. And the audience he's talking to, they're still pretty literal about this. They're still hoping that he's just going to, you know, raise up his hand and feed them, you know, give them something to drink. But he's saying, no, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And he says, whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Right.
So all of a sudden he makes this crazy left turn. Right. And he starts to really kind of leave the people behind, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it's easy to get kind of lost in his words here and kind of think, is he literal here? Because they just saw him multiply out of nowhere bread and fish. So it'd be easy to think that this might be a literal statement and he might just have lost his mind, you know, and he's asking you to eat his flesh. And that's not something that I would personally be okay with. And I'm sure most of these people are kind of thinking the same thing. But yeah, he really loses them in this moment because they're not spiritually ready for what he's saying. They want the physical. They haven't moved beyond the physical. They haven't moved beyond that transactional relationship yet. And I mean, fair enough, it's been like a few hours, so it hasn't been a long time with him. They haven't had this long walk with him as we think of our walks with Jesus, you know, might take years to get to this point of understanding this statement. But yeah, he's pushing them. He's challenging them to understand him in a different way, and they're just really not.
Yeah, and you can't blame them because, again, you know, we are living on the other side of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. We kind of understand where he's coming from. These guys didn't have the benefit of any of that.
Right.
So he says this to them next. He says in verse 53, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." He says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." And then he goes on, "For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." And then one of my favorite lines in the Bible, a little bit later, John tells us, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him."
Right.
Isn't that just precious? I mean, it's like amazing.
Well, I mean, when you hear that, you go, okay. I kind of, there's some parables, there's some illustrations that Jesus uses that you're like, okay, I can understand where that's coming from. I'll get to it. You know, it's not really offensive. This might be terribly offensive to some of these people following him at this point. And it may be even offensive to people today that read this, and it might be really hard to understand. So of course there might be grumbling there. And of course they might have been lost in those words. But Jesus, as we know, he doesn't always talk in a literal sense. He's wanting us to expand our understanding of what these words are saying. He wants us to look beyond it, just like we do in our faith. We look beyond, you know, maybe what's right in front of us. We expand our knowledge of him. And that's what he's really asking them to do. But man, it's hard. It is very hard.
Jesus even asks his disciples, "Does this offend you?" And I can see, especially if you're just looking for, you know, lunch.
Right.
And all of a sudden he's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But let's look at it from our perspective. I mean, we've had 2,000 years to think this over and understand really what Jesus does mean.
Right.
And we have communion sometimes every week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in our church, it's once a month.
Right.
But we talk about these things and we know that what he means when he says that if we drink his blood and we eat his flesh, he remains in us and we remain in him.
Right.
That what he's saying is this is part of letting ourselves become one with him in spirit. And as hard as that is for them to understand and accept what he's talking about, it's still difficult for Christians of any stripe today to also accept that. That's super difficult to accept, that we're really supposed to become one with Jesus.
Right. And it's that renewing that relationship with him, that renewing that oneness with him, going back to him and feeding on his word and meditating on all that he is and what he has done, and just reliving that, like drinking it in, you know, in that metaphorical sense. And when we think about that, it is really important, sometimes very difficult to do. And when things are pulling us away or whatnot, but it's so crucial to that faith walk, being one and just forgetting those things that might feed us for a while.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get fed for a while and not be fed in Christ. And so when he reminds us of that, this is the food and the drink that will renew your strength. And that's so important for us to remember, because it's a daily walk. It's something that we need every day, but it's going to renew us. It's just like food. And I feel bad for these people that are probably very hungry once again after their long trip across the across the lake. But
you know, we get hungry for things and tangible rewards from our faith and all the time. But what Jesus is trying to get us always to do is to move beyond that. And to understand that what he's asking us to do is to become one with him and let ourselves surrender to him,
right,
so that we're not number one anymore, but he is, his will, to surrender our bodies, our mouths, our ears, the things that we do, to surrender them to his will. That's what he's asking them to do, but it's especially what he's asking us to do, those of us who live on the other side of the resurrection in this era of faith.
Right.
So what about for kids? You know, when they come up for communion, we're probably not going to tell them all of this in this way. In fact, when we have communion here, when the kids take the bread and the juice, we just say to them, Jesus loves you.
Right.
And that's the beginning of them understanding that this thing that they're doing has a beautiful, is rooted in a beautiful expression of love that Jesus has for them. But how far can you go in explaining to kids what this all means?
Well, absolutely right. We can't say everything, because I think if we read them that passage, they might be like these people at this moment. But I do think you can tell them a bit, because even in our Sunday school class, we renew that Jesus did this with his disciples, not because this is literally Jesus's body and literally Jesus's blood, but this reminds us of the commitment he made. And when we become in relationship with him, when we're friends with Jesus, when we understand him more, we can remember that each time that we drink of that and we feast on that as our need for Jesus. And and you can really go into the symbolism of it without getting a little bit gross and scaring these kids to never want to come back to Sunday school class. Yeah. But we can really help them to begin to understand how a relationship with Jesus ultimately brings them to eternity and ultimately betters their life in some way.
Yeah. I mean, we just always have to remind our kids and ourselves that what Jesus did for us was he gave his life for us so that we could become one with him through his Holy Spirit, and that he gave his life so that we can be forgiven and be reconciled with God.
Right.
So all those things, as tough as they are to hear sometimes, and certainly was tough for those original disciples to hear, Jesus then, as now, is just drawing us into understanding his great love for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that you came and along with us today. We invite you to come back next week. And of course, if you're in the Burbank area, come worship with us over here at Magnolia Park United Methodist Church. Our services are at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. And we just hope you have a blessed week this week, and that you can draw closer and closer to Jesus, who just loves you so much.
Amen.
See you next week.
Bye.